Let's go to God in prayer.
Father, we praise you and thank you for your grace. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. It works through the power of the name of Jesus, and it is applicable to us through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the power of the blood that cleanses our spirit, souls, and body, so that the Word of God will have a free entrance into our lives. We open our hearts and our lives and our minds and everything within us to you. We ask, Father God, that your great grace and your great mercy may be shown through our lives. We thank you, Father, you're the good God. You're the gracious Father. You're the merciful, everlasting, loving God of eternity who has created all mankind that we can fellowship with you. Father, tonight we ask that you would teach us to pray as Jesus teaches disciples. Teach us, Father, to conceive in the Spirit. Teach us, Father God, the graces and the things of your Spirit realm. Thank you, Father God, that you will cause to arise from within us the power of your Holy Spirit as we intercede tonight and move into the depths of the Spirit. God is Father God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Now again, as we move into prayer, we want to remind ourselves and through the Word of God that in the spirit realm there is no such thing as a past, present or future. What you will be in 5 years' time, what you will be in 10 years' time, is already known to God. But it's not known to us. That's our problem. But the Bible does tell us that Jesus has sent the Spirit of truth, that he will show us things to come. It seems that there is one of his special work to show us things to come. And so right now in the spirit realm, there is no past, no present, no future. The spirit realm is timeless. A day to the Lord is as 1,000 years. And so we can imagine from God's perspective what it will be like. And again, we try to describe again about God's position in time. You could see like what Ezekiel mentioned, how they have a wheel within a wheel. And it's just like God is in the center of the spokes. Imagine a bicycle wheel. And a bicycle wheel has spokes, and all the spokes crisscross at the center. And you can imagine God like positioned in the center of a circle. And then there are all these spokes that reaches out to the outer rims of the circle. So it's like a wheel within a wheel. And you have on the circumference a circumference of what we call a creation all around. And so there we are, time is moving outside on the circumference. And outside the we are living on the outer circumference of God's dispensation and creation. And in God's outer circumference, we experience things like time. That God, seated in the center of the circle, when he looks towards the side, one aspect of a time that we call the future, and then he looks at one aspect of time that we call the past, and he looks at one aspect of time that we call the present, it's the same to him. He sees everything all in his position. All things are equal with him. And he is the beginning, because he could reach down to every sphere of time. He dwells in timelessness. We dwell in a limitation of time. We experience time. And so God dwells in the center of it, And we dwell in the outer circumference of time. And just before we go deeper into that, we just want to bring some understanding from man's reaching out to understand this aspect of time. In fact, the understanding of what time represents and what time is only discovered, or rather, the early stages of discovering and understanding time in relevance to other aspects of things came only when Albert Einstein came on the scene, and he began to describe the universe in four dimensions. See, before man knows the universe in three dimensions, all Newton's laws are based on a three-dimensional universe. That is, there is width, and there is breadth, and there is height. There's three dimensions. There is a plane, and then there is a depth to the plane, and there's a height. So it's a three-dimensional universe that has scientists have been handling all the time, even in Newton's time. All Newton's law are based on three-dimensional universe. And Albert Einstein came along, and he says that time can be molded. And that puzzled all of them, and puzzled a lot of us. Because many people cannot conceive how time can be molded. And the essence of time, I'm trying to summarize this theory, the essence of time is movement. That's what he's saying. See, the basic of what Albert Einstein is trying to bring forth is that time and movement are related. That is why if you read some of the science book, they try to explain to you this way, that if you could take a spaceship and you travel out into space at 99% the speed of light, and you measure time in terms of the spaceship, you take a clock and put it in the spaceship and you travel. It took you, let's say, you travel 10 years out and 10 years back, so you're gone about 20 years. By the time you come back, you find that your children, if they're left behind, will be older than you. And while you have gone only 20 years, early time has passed about, I don't know the exact calculation, but I'm just giving an approximation just for us to understand. Maybe they may have aged about, let's say, about 90 years compared to your 20 years. Maybe, you know, some of them were died and gone. And you have only grown 20 years old, and they have grown 100 years old or so. And so time that is on earth, that is moving at a certain speed, time is affected when you begin to move very fast. And this is what actually happened. Time is related to movement. When they began to move very fast at a speed of light, it seems, according to their theory, that all matter began to move slower. Everything slows down. Every particle, all the atoms and molecules, and that will affect all the cells, and that will affect the clock as it turns. All movement slows down. And can you imagine, according to that theory, it's not possible to reach the speed of light. Right? That is still to be proven, still to be looked further. It's all still theory. But they have proven part of the theory anyway. They have proven certain parts of the theory by sending an atomic clock out and bringing it back, and they saw some difference. And so God exists in a realm where it is absolute. All movements come from Him. All life comes from Him. And the verses that say, "Be still and know that I am God." And can you imagine those whose our spirit that is within us is not limited by the dimensions of atoms and molecules or the elements of this earth? the spirit within us can move faster than the speed of light. It has to. Because dimensionally, if you want to talk about it, heaven is quite a distance. And in heaven, we don't just travel at the speed of light. If you travel at the speed of light, it's going to take a long time too. The furthest star is several light years away. We travel at the speed of thought. And you could see how that living in that realm of God, which is not just at the speed of light, it's many, many times at the speed of light, that time just ceases to exist. It just ceases. You're not bound by this molecular universe that we know of. And that is why the spirit realm is what we call at a different, if you want to put it in a natural language, frequency from ours. It's a different frequency from ours. Like right now, you cannot see air or water vapor that is there. Now, this place, for example, could have a humidity of about 80. There's a humidity level. There's water vapor in the air. If there's no water vapor, right now, each one of you will feel the dryness. But it's what we call a wet heat that we have in the tropical climate. So there is water vapor in the air, but we can't see it. What happens when we begin to cool down the air and let it go colder and colder? And for example, if you go to a very cold country, you notice that every time you say a word, say hello, you could see the smoke forming on your lips, the air coming out from your mouth condenses the water vapor, and straight away you could see the mist that appears. Since some of you may have not been to a cold place, when you open your fridge and you look into the freezer and you blow, do you notice the mist that is formed? The hot air comes out and straight away the cold of the fridge melts. Or rather condenses the water vapor from your mouth, and you see the mist. So from a realm that is invisible, it moves into the visible realm. How did that take place? By slowing down the molecules. When you condense an element, or let's say water vapor, H2O, what happens is, you see, all matter is vibrating all the time. Right now, your whole being is vibrating all the time. Everything is vibrating all the time. Nothing stands still as far as we are concerned. See, if things stand still, there is no more decay. Timelessness. But everything is vibrating all the time. The atoms are going, the electrons are moving around the molecules all the time. Around the nucleus all the time. Everything is moving. And so, all the atoms are in a state of dance all the time. And this light is blinking at many, many times the speed, such that our eyes cannot detect it. If you look at a light, it looks like a constant light, but right now it's blinking. But our eyes cannot catch it, it's too fast for us. And so everything is moving. So the H2O, water vapor, is moving. What happens when you condense it? The movement slows down. It begins to solidify, crystallize. As it crystallizes, it becomes visible. So if to put the expression for understanding, the frequencies are different. Water vapor, the frequency is very high in movement. And as it condenses, the frequency slows down. By the time it reaches water, it's very slow. And by the time it is ice, there's still some movement there, but it's so tiny, and the water sort of, the molecules start being attached to one another in a more solid form, so that you could touch ice and feel it. And if it's a big chunk of ice and it knocks you, it is painful, right? You take a big chunk of water vapor and knock, there's nothing. But you begin to feel it. Why? The molecular movement is slowing down. When it slows down, it becomes visible. Right? With that understanding? The spirit realm moves many, many times faster than we can conceive. Right now, there are angels all over the place. They are in a realm where the frequency is too fast for our natural to conceive. Once upon a time, the physical realm was in harmony with the spiritual realm. When God created Adam and Eve, Adam could see the spirit realm with his natural eye. God never made it such that the natural cannot see the spiritual. What we experience today, this phenomena of not being able to see the spirit realm unless God works the discerning of spirits, is a result of the fallen Adamic nature. And when God created Adam, Adam can see God anytime he wants. If an angel come, he could see an angel. The spirit realm was like the natural realm to him. Do you get what I was saying? If we get too complicated, raise your hands and say, repeat again, or shake, or dance, or get into higher frequency. Right? So we have to make sure we get this truth across. And so Adam could move into that spirit realm. And I believe in that realm, Adam could fellowship with God. He could do things that today we may consider naturally impossible. Right? Now, there's not much record about what Adam did, so there's not much that we could go by. But let's look at the second Adam. And who is he? Say Jesus. Say Jesus is the second Adam. Now Jesus moved into the spirit realm. And Jesus could detect spirits. Jesus moved in that realm and he was the second Adam. He was perfect. So to Jesus, if an angel is there, nobody sees it. He saw it. If a demon is there, nobody sees it. He sees it. See, to Jesus, the spirit realm and the physical realm are the same. He experienced them all the same, for he did not have a fallen nature. And that is why Jesus was able to do things that naturally we consider a miracle, because he moved in that realm. He could just take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and say, Father, thank you, and the molecular structure just changed. It got affected from the spirit realm. He could come down from an overnight prayer in Matthew 14 and just walk on water, defying the laws of gravity. He could reach out where a dead person is, and remember the widow or Nain who was coming out, and the son was in the coffin. Jesus stopped the funeral procession, asked the coffin to be opened and touched, and got that fellow resurrected. Because he moves in a different realm. He moves at a higher frequency, the spirit frequency. And this is the fact of it, that the spirit frequency is Lord and ruler over the natural realm. The higher frequency always affects the lower frequency. Let me give an example. If I am boiling at about, let's say I am 1 meter and she is another meter, right? Just a block of matter. If I am boiling or heated up to 200 degrees Celsius, she is only 100 degrees. When I come, did she affect me or I affect her? Right? She will get hotter. Right? But in giving forth, naturally speaking, if you mix the two together, the temperatures are equalized. Right? But it's more the higher affecting the lower. That's just an example. If you take very hot boiling water and you mix it with ice, what do you get? Lukewarm water. Right? The temperature rises. Now, you take that little illustration and you go further. That in our limited illustration, if you take that 200 degrees and you mix it 100 degrees, you may get about 150 degrees or so, if no heat is lost. It will equalize perfectly if no heat is lost. But you add this dimension that this 200 degrees never decreases because it's connected to something else that keeps it at 200 degrees. Alright? Let's say it's connected to an iron or a wire. Let's take the example of an iron. So the iron will constantly be at 200 degrees no matter what. Let's heat it up to that. And so I put it on 100 degrees. And you have stopped. And what will happen? If the iron is not going to decrease, she's going to increase. Right? The higher frequency always affects the lower. It's not the other way. And so Jesus moved in the spirit dimension, which is timelessness, and he knows all things, and in the spirit dimension, all things are considered done. See, in the spirit dimension, as long as it is spoken from the source who is God, it is as good as done. Now this is what some people experience in the spirit realm, but it is not so true in the natural realm now. That in the spirit realm, let's say we all were to be translated right now to the spirit realm, we all have just half an hour in heaven, and we are able to do a lot of things. All you have to do is to say, "Thank you, Father, for a feast of fruit." It will come right in front of you. Do you know that? In the spirit realm, the moment you conceive, it is the very moment it's manifested. There's no delay factor. And in the spirit realm, we are in heaven, and this is what Sadhu Siddhartha Singh also say in his book, Spiritual World. He says, when a person desires to see another person, the moment they think of that, they are either there with the person or the person is there with them. Isn't that marvelous? Praise the Lord. Could walk through walls. We all would have mentioned you could actually walk through walls. But it's still polite to knock. Right. Don't walk through my door in heaven. Don't walk through my wall. Give a knock. Anyway, we are fine when we are there. Right, you always get some sneaky guy. Sickiness is still in heaven, right? Anyway, we shall have fun there. Praise God, it's not going to be boring and dull. Praise Lord. And part of my nature is a bit cheeky and fun too. So, anyway, so there we have that, that area of that dimension that God moved in. Now there is a dimension. You see, that's why when God in Genesis chapter 1, he said, "Let there be light," and it came. He said, "Let the earth bring forth," and it was done. See, there is a dimension that God moved in. Powerful. And from time to time, when man has moved into that spirit dimension, they have transcended natural laws. Elijah carried here and there. Translation. Moving into that dimension. Or what I call higher frequency. So right now they are angelic beings around us. And the angels, if they are to be made visible to us, there are two possibilities. See, before two frequencies can connect, one frequency has to slow down, or the other be accelerated, right? So there is what I call, in our spirit man, a degree of acceleration taking place all the time. For some of us, our spirit man is only moving at about 10 miles per hour. That is called snail speed. For some of us, because we are full of the Word and we are praying in the Spirit all the time, we are moving at 70 miles per hour. See, there is a degree that you move into the Spirit realm and you live in the Spirit realm that the spiritual world is real to you. Now this is an experiment that I did personally. I wanted to find out what would happen if we pray long hours in tongues. By that time, I was quite accustomed to praying about 8 or 9 or 10 hours in tongues. It was nothing, it was peanuts. And just wanted to find out what would happen if you go longer than that. Curiosity, right? Blesses the kid. And that's a Christian version. And so, I prayed and prayed and prayed for 48 hours in tongues. 48 hours in tongues. Non-stop. At the end of the 48 hours, if I opened my eyes, of course you also hardly sleep, I was not sure whether I was in the spirit or in the flesh. I saw a lot of things in the spirit that I don't fully understand also that was taking place. A lot of lights moving to and fro, and from heaven to earth, and from earth to heaven, and when light appeared in the room, I could see it, and I could look out, and if there's a demon running around the road, I could see the demon, as if I was looking at you physically, and it felt like a bit like what Adam felt probably when he saw the spirit and the physical world at the same time. In other words, it was like living in an open vision all the time. You understand there are three types of vision. The open vision is to have your natural eyes open and your physical, spiritual eyes open at the same time. You could see the natural and the spiritual at the same time. And I was curious at the effects that praying in tongues did to me. And that was where I realized the impact of praying in tongues. So when God has given us a dimension of moving into that realm of the spirit. Now that realm of the spirit, he calls it a rest. Why does he call it a rest? Because at that dimension, time stands still. At that dimension, time stands still. There's no more such thing as time in that realm. You live in that realm. And when we pray in tongues, the Bible tells us that we edify ourselves. The word edify means to build ourselves up. It builds ourselves up. And there's an energizing power that moves. If you analyze praying in tongues, do you remember I talked about the 5 levels of praying in tongues? Do you all remember that still? Do you all remember that? Right, otherwise you've got to go revision. But just in case you've never heard it before, the first realm of praying in tongues is what we call stammering lips. Remember that? Few words. And your words sound just like a few words. And you're just going, you know, kalaba, 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 kalaba. That's all you have, kalaba. And so you just have a few words. It's stammering, not very fluent. Then you move into the second stage where it's a real language coming out. So you could speak fluently in tongues. It's a real language that comes up from you. And then you move into the third stage, third gear. First gear, second gear, third gear. So you move into third gear. So at third gear, you not only move in one type of tongue, you move in many types of tongue, variety of tongue. You have many languages. When you're praying for the Africans, you kundo, 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 kundo. You pray for the Japanese, speak, 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 speak. You got all kinds of tongues. You could move into it, no problem. Your tongues change. And it could be ministering tongue. Right? When I'm ministering or when I'm giving a message, my tongue don't change totally for my prayer tongue. I have my favorite prayer tongue. But then when I minister or when I'm illustrating a message or anything, or when I give a message in tongues or interpretation, the tongue changes. Sometimes the prayer tongue also changes. You could go, it liahas vr'al ibr'as idiyas. Or you could go, ilikahas liahas ibr'as 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 ibr'as. Different. different type of tongue. So at the third gear stage, you could move into different types of tongue easily, variety of tongues, right? Then you begin to taste variety show. Praise God. So at that first stage, all you have black and white TV, right? Some people still love black and white TV. Praise God. And also, yes, our brother said silent TV, right? The Charlie Chaplin, you know, the show, all that. That's all black and white Charlie Chaplin. No sound, no noise, right? That's all you have. And then you move into the next stage. Then you have the sound coming out, right? Now it's a real language. Gear number two, you have the language coming out, and nice language, and it's a clearer resolution, but still black and white. Third stage, color. Hallelujah. You begin to have color, and you thought that was the whole world. Color. You finally have color TV. Then you realize that, you know, it's only CGA monitor. That's a first level. That's your first experience. Then you move on at the fourth level. At the fourth level is what we call groaning in the spirit. And you're groaning in spirit as you move into that realm, and suddenly you realize, hey, you got another different monitor, EGA monitor. Praise God, higher resolution. And then you pray some more and you move on. Then you go into worship in the spirit. Then you go into VGA and a higher resolution kind of monitor. So you could move into a higher dimension. And so in the same way, there are these five levels of praying in tongue that we described. So these five, also we also have illustrated with different speeds that you're moving in the spirit. And just like driving a car, you cannot start at fifth gear, although you know fifth gear is very nice. It saves petrol and it's very fast and it's very smooth. But it doesn't mean you straight away and get fifth gear and take off. You can't, your car will give up the ghost on you. So you got to build up slowly. And so you build up with first gear, right? First gear, slow but powerful. And just to set the momentum. And then at the first gear, you build up to second gear, third gear, fourth gear. Now when we move into overnight prayer, some people never go further than first gear. But that's a good start, praise God. Some planes just need very long runway. Right, need a long runway. And the first 3 hours was just charging. Praise God. And by the time they take off towards the early morning, right, it sputter and then you go up for a few minutes and came down, just like the Wright brothers, and they celebrate. Praise God. Right, and the plane go up for a few minutes to celebrate, you know. Today, we could keep the plane up all the time if we want. And so, some people could learn vertical takeoff. Praise the Lord, you prepare yourself so you could move into that dimension easily. But as we move into the realm of the spirit, it's important for us to realize that these are also different speeds. Do you notice that when you pray in tongues, there are different degrees of letting go? We touched on that a little bit last week about letting go in the spirit, letting the you in the spirit. And if you want to learn the secret of really getting the tongues, is this that it's just like a vision. There is a stage where you have to visualize and visualize and visualize and visualize and use all your soul within you, use all your spirit, use all your energy, put everything within you to visualize and get that vision. Then there is a stage where that vision becomes a part of you and it carries you. You live for the vision. Day and night you dream of that vision. And you constantly, now that vision is carrying you. There is a stage where you build a boat. It's hard work, building the boat, making sure it's leak-proof, everything. But one day the boat is ready, you take the boat to the river, you push it down into the river, climb into the boat, hallelujah, now your boat can carry you. There's a stage in business where you're building up your business. And, you know, you put all the time in, you put all your finances in, you put all your investment in. It's hard work for first few years. After some time your business builds up, now your business can take care of you. You could have started it as a part-time and working at another job while your business is taking off. After some time, you cut your umbilical cord and say, hey, you could resign now, your business could take care of you, take care of your family, and you could employ more people. So at a stage, your business now takes care of you. At a stage, first stage, you have to take care of the business. Then you reach a point where you can run by yourself. All the sales are confirmed sales, all the clients are confirmed clients, and everything has been established. Turnover is all established. And you know there's a constant market and it won't go down. And so you know, now it can carry you. Ministry-wise is the same. At the early stage, you have to really go against every force that is coming against you. Then to build yourself, you reach a stage where your ministry carries you. And you just flow. Flow in the Holy Ghost. So in the same way, when we pray in tongues, there is a stage where there's effort coming out. Now at the first few stages, there's a lot of effort. It's a lot of effort. Where you literally feel like you're praying in tongues. You literally feel like you're making yourself pray. You literally feel like you're forcing yourself. Your mind argues to you, hey, why so long? Hey, why so dull? Hey, why so this? You know, and you literally have to force yourself. You don't feel like it, but you continue. But you reach a stage where you begin to enjoy it. And that's the stage where you really begin to let go and let God. Let me try to illustrate something a bit closer. Like, for example, we realize in singing or in speaking or using our voices. Like, we realize people can sing from their throat instead of from their diaphragm. And the sound is different. Like, for example, if I'm speaking from my throat all the time and saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, it's all from the throat. But if it's on the diaphragm, hallelujah, right, there's a pushing forth. And your throat relaxes. So your throat reaches a point where it just relaxes and it's just an instrument for vibrating. The air just flows through your throat and causes it to vibrate. There's no strain on your throat. You could speak for 5 hours and your throat doesn't feel tired at all. But when you're trying to speak from your throat or sing from your throat all the time, it strains. There's a tremendous strain. There's tremendous effort. But a good singer and a very good vocalist will never tire their throat muscles at all. In fact, the singing sort of relaxes their throat and muscles. It's relaxing, just a vibration, throat massage. Praise the Lord. And so in the same way, when we pray in tongues, there is a stage where you're building up. You're building up. And it looks like a lot of effort. You are trying to keep yourself awake. You're trying to keep yourself active. You're trying to keep the tongues going. But you reach a stage where the tongues literally take you over. You yield yourself to the Lord. And it's no more effort. You just yielding. It just flows out from you. And you feel like you could go on forever. You ever felt that? There's a time sometimes you reach a certain presence of God when you just want to continue. You don't want to stop anymore. Even if they want to stop, you don't want to stop. You just want to continue. You're enjoying God's presence so much. See, you have yielded to the stage where your tongue takes over. Your tongue takes control. And usually it's somewhere about the fourth or fifth year that we reach that stage. That's why when we begin to move in tongues, one of the most important things, as we read Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, let's read verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The word groanings which cannot be uttered, in the Greek it says with words which are not understandable to our intellect. In other words, words that are not intelligible. Words that are not recognizable to the understanding, to the mind. Now here we talk about acceleration and moving to the realm of the spirit. We talk about five levels of time and different speeds as we move in, moving in the timeless realm that God dwells in, the spirit frequency. We must know where the brakes are. Do you know if you drive a car and you don't know where the brakes are, you can only start and don't know how to stop? We must know where the brakes are. You must know where the accelerator is, which we have taught, but we must also know where the brakes are. And thank God, it's not a manual gear, so there's no clutch. It's automatic transmission in a spirit realm. You only have an accelerator and a brake. So all you have to do is press the accelerator or press the brake. Choose you this day. Where thou presses. And so you could press the accelerator. Some of you start pressing the accelerator and pressing and then pressing and still pressing. But sometimes you didn't know you accidentally pressed the brakes. And remember those new drivers sometimes? I was sitting in one car and there was this new driver who was taking me around in Perth. And he was still learning. He's still an L license. You know this L license is he can take people around as long as they got an L plate. And so we were together with who is this mission director, Gary Holmes, and he was the one of the students, Raymond students, and so he's taking us around, and he's an Indonesian brother, and he was there, and we were right in the highway, and he's going, and he's pressing, and going, and he said, hey, what's wrong with the car? And the car started slowing down, you know, and everybody's going, saying, what's wrong with the car? What's wrong with the car? And it was slowing, we were right in the middle of the highway, and for a moment, you're wondering what's wrong with the engine. The car is suddenly slowing down. The engine was sputtering. And as you look carefully, he was pressing the brake. Thinking that it was an accelerator. You know, what's wrong with the car? What's wrong with the car? And the moment he said, he keep pressing. And so, guess what? The car did a disco. And, right. You should not all be in disco anyway. And right, the car did a dance in the spirit. Right, let's illustrate it in more scriptural ways. And so the car jerked. The car had a hiccup. The thing never to stop. Because every time he pressed the brake, he hiccup. Right. And so sometimes people are that way, they don't know where the brakes are as they move into the spirit. Do you know where the brakes are? For additional tips. Let you take off and don't stop. Anyway, the brake is your mind. The brakes are your mind. The moment your mind takes over, you have come down from the spirit realm. The brakes are your mind. Your mental realm. So the moment your mental realm gets back into control, you're back in a natural order. So a certain extent we need to learn to break, otherwise we cannot live this life. But we need to know that in the spirit realm, when you want to move full into it, your main barrier, you must know how to get back. And that will stop you if you're not sure and not knowing that it's a break, is your mind. Your mental barrier is a big brake. And we know that in a car there are two brakes, right? One is the one you press, the other is the handbrake. Same way, two brakes in your mind. One is your conscious, one is your subconscious. Your subconscious is your handbrake. And you just, it can only be broken if there's a willingness to let go. Willingness to let go. Right? Right in the inner realm. And so some people just don't let go. And you try driving a car with the handbrakes on. It moves, but there's difficulty. Why? Because from the subconscious realm, thoughts keep coming out. So sometimes when you want to move into the spirit realm, as you move a little bit, you know, your handbrake is still on. So your subconscious mind throws thoughts out. What are you doing? What words are you saying? What about this? What about that? It's from your subconscious mind. You didn't intentionally want to think about that. All those thoughts come out. And every time they come out, you think about that, it puts a brake on you. And if you try to move in again, it comes out, it puts a brake on you. You could go the whole night that way, you'll be still on the runway. Imagine the plane on the takeoff, begin to build up speed. The engines are churning, the turbines are churning. You put on a brake. Then you start again. Put on a brake. You could spend the whole night on the runway. And at the end of the day, you thought that you have just landed in Perth, and you get out and look up, hey, it's still Kuala Lumpur. Haven't gone anywhere, you're still in Subang Airport. Right? You just make circles around the runway. And you look out, you know, oh, what a lovely flight we had, so smooth. Right? Actually, you're still on the ground. Because there's too much brake. And so, the realm of the spirit is where we have to move beyond the mind. We have to let the mind go, let the handbrakes go, and don't press the brakes, but press the accelerator. That is the realm where the book of Proverbs says a little bit about that in moving in a Christian life. In Proverbs 3:5-6, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, very popular verse with many, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. That tells me there's a realm that we move in that the understanding doesn't know. We are not to lean to our own understanding. We are not to lean to our intellect. We are not to lean on our comprehension. We are just to trust the Lord and move in. If we lean on our intellect, there's a break that is set. There is a realm where we got to trust in the Lord. And don't try to understand, but let go and let God take control. Let's give more scripture in that realm. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice in verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Right now, your spirit knows where you are in 5 years' time. Right now, your spirit knows where you are in 10 years' time. The only part of you that doesn't know is your mind. It's amazing. Our spirit knows right now. Our spirit man knows exactly where we're going to be in the next year at the same time. But it's only when the spirit man could communicate it to the mind. Or rather, we should put it, when the mind reaches a point where it can understand our spirit and receive the communication from the spirit, that we begin to comprehend where we're going to be in 5 years' time, 10 years' time. That is why when we pray in tongues and move in that realm, let go of the mind, there is a strong possibility that the Spirit of God within you, through your human spirit, will begin to communicate to you a lot of revelation. Our spirit. Since our spirit knows everything within us, naturally our spirit can pray better than our mind. How much can our mind know? How much does our mind know? I think it's only a fraction of a percentage compared to what our spirit knows. That is why I believe the New Testament Christian life, it will be very normal if Christians pray about 95 to 99% in the spirit and only 1% or 5% in the understanding. Because if you analyze it, that is probably about the proportion, how much the spirit knows more than the soul. So the spirit knows more than the spirit prays, since the spirit can pray. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15 says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, that's unknown to my mind, my spirit prays. Now, he did not neglect the soul. He says, I will pray with the understanding, I will pray with my spirit. But this does not put it on equal levels. How do we know? Because every time when it talks about prayer, especially in tongues, it emphasizes the dimension of the spirit more than the dimension of the understanding. Romans 8:26. What about the other times? Every time you talk about prayer, you notice in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, after putting on the armor of God, he says, pray in the spirit. Pray with all prayer in the spirit. There's a greater emphasis in the spirit than in the understanding. Don't take 1 Corinthians 14 verse 14 and 15, and many people take it half-half. 50-50. Half-half. 50-50. Not 30-30. Right. And half-half. No. There's a greater emphasis on praying in the Spirit. And Jude verse 20 says, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, there's a greater emphasis in the spirit realm. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have read, what man knows what is within us except the spirit of the man within him? So, when we pray in tongues, you don't realize what your spirit is praying sometimes. Your spirit could be praying for something that's going to happen 10 years' time. It's the greatest investment you ever made. And the interesting thing is, nothing happens without prayer. Without prayer, you take prayer out of that, it's only accident. Put prayer in, it's a purpose and plan of God. See, God seeks for prayer before He works. Now let's continue looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 12. He didn't stop at verse 11. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. See, so now we depend on the Spirit of God and we depend on the human spirit. Then he goes on in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Then verse 14, the natural man, that's the carnal mind, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Now he says we are speaking in a wisdom. When Paul preached, what he received was from the spirit realm. It was wisdom. Normally we would just take that verse to mean great teachings, great revelations he brings forth. It includes that. But hold it. The source and the key of that mystery and that wisdom lies in the spirit man. You see the context of it. And the spirit man and the spirit of God. And remember that Paul's letter is one letter. He didn't break it up in the chapter. Somebody else did. When I write a letter to you, I don't put chapter 1. From Peter Tan. Alright, greetings to you. Grace and peace from God. Chapter 2. I don't. I just write a whole letter. And I assume that what I said in the beginning, you still remember at the end of the letter. Even if it's a 10-page letter. Paul is a ferocious letter writer. All my letters are short, he's a very long. But it flowing in the same context of the teaching he brought forth, besides touching on a lot of other points, you look quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and he says in verse 2, He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, earlier in 1 Corinthians 2, he talked about mysteries. We speak mysteries, we speak wisdom. Although what we speak in tongues is not intelligible to our understanding and intellect, it is some of the mysterious truths and wonderful things of God. You know, this is recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2, where all these people came on the day of Pentecost and heard those 120 disciples speaking. They said, "We hear them speak the wonderful works of God." Mysteries. Mysteries of God. Now, if when we speak in tongues, we are speaking in the mysteries of God, what will happen when you interpret tongues? We have revelation of the mysteries of God. It's easier to operate by speaking and interpretation than it is with the intellect to just try to move into the mystery. At least when your spirit man, now notice what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is trying to say in verse 12. He says in verse 11 and 12, he says, "No man knows what is in a man except the spirit of man that is within him," right? Then he turns around and says, "No man knows the things of God except the spirit of God that is within him," right? So he has put one here, one there. Then, when the human spirit, when you speak in tongues, is it your human spirit speaking or the Holy Spirit? It's our human spirit speaking, right? And the language comes from the Holy Spirit. Our human spirit is speaking, but the Holy Spirit is the source. So when we are speaking in tongues, you are connecting the human spirit to the Holy Spirit. Oh, divine oneness. When you are speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit is communicating to the human spirit. Look at it this way. When you are speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit is communicating with your human spirit. And you are just saying all those things out to God. There's a lot of communication. Of course, your mind doesn't understand a lot of those things, so your mind protects. Say, "Hey, tell me too." Wait, mind, you got to be renewed. It takes time. See, there is a communication, right? Let's praise God. Good. Boy, you come up. It's gone. And let's say he's the human spirit, alright? She's the mind. Please stand over that side. Thank you. And this side. Okay? Stand on his left and you stand here. Okay. So, he's a human spirit. He's the, "Oh, they can't see you. Come right to here." Alright. Centralized. Alright. See, like it. Stand here. And Kenny, can you stand right here? On her right? Yeah. Okay. So, she is the mind, the soul. He is the human spirit. Same person, one person, right? And so there they are. And supposing there is no communication between the Holy Spirit and him, he can try all he wants to get the mysteries. Nothing. And the human soul, praise the Lord, he reach out your hand, and trying to reach out to the human spirit and trying to get all the revelation. Do you know, unless the spirit knows, the human soul never knows? Let me put it this way. Your soul or your mind can only get whatever your spirit gets out of the spirit realm. If the spirit doesn't get it, the mind doesn't get it. No matter how the mind tries. So he tries and he does not. But one day, the human spirit breaks forth and takes control, takes hold of the Holy Spirit. from that frequency that human spirit is moving in, he seeks to move into the frequency of the Holy Spirit. He accelerates and takes off. First, second, third, fourth, fifth. And then the Holy Spirit begins to give revelation to the human spirit. Begins to pour it out. See, the Spirit gave utterance. Acts 2 verse 4. Gives it forth. Gives it forth. And then he speaks it forth. As he speaks it forth, he began to speak. Holy Spirit gives it forth. Now the mind doesn't understand yet. But do you know there's a start? At least something is being built up inside here now. For he that speaketh unto God speaketh in mysteries. So there's a lot of things being placed in the Spirit. The Spirit is brought into the dimension of God. Spirit moves into the dimension of God. Robert Sliden calls prayer walking in the Spirit realm. Moving into the dimensions of God. And the Spirit of God places a lot of things. It's bubbling forth. And just on a normal scale, if there's a law inside here, sooner or later it will overflow into the soul. Sooner or later it will overflow into the soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. And sometimes people ask, where do you get all these revelations? No secret, I'm giving it to you. For additional tips. Hey, this is a $1 million secret. So, not through commentaries, not through just any books or any other thing. You just wait on God and you speak a lot in tongues. Sooner or later, even if you speak 1 million words in tongues, if you just get an interpretation of just 10 of those words, those revelations will keep you busy for a few months. No speaking, no revelasi. They're just praying a lot in tongues. And some of these men of God, they know that that is the key to their ministry, but they don't emphasize it as much. But you could read it between the lines. Hagin himself says that up to about 70, sometimes about 90% of his prayer is in tongues. He should have put it in bold, black and white, underline it, so people won't miss it. But he just made a simple statement and then went and teach other things. And so some of us read the book, we miss it. John G. Lake writes in one of his books, speaking in tongues has been the making of his whole ministry. He should have put it in bold. Bold print. Underline, underline, underline. Right? Red color, rainbow. So we won't miss it. But we read the whole book and we forget that tiny statement he made. When that tiny statement he made. Now think about it. If someone comes and said, my whole life and ministry is mainly built on this, you would take attention. But the fact is they did it, but they put it in normal print. So we miss it. And we try to search for the keys of life. When it's all there. Cho Yung-gi in one of his tapes says 90% of his prayer is in tongues. Because it's tongues. We know it's tongues. They put in tongues for 90%. And that's the key. That's the key. Why? Because our spirit man knows more. And he needs to keep receiving more from the Holy Spirit and praying it forth. As he prays forth, then we may have some interpretation of that. A lot of interpretation flow forth. And I notice this. Every revelation that flows into my mind has always first struck my spirit. It may take some months before my mind gets it, after my spirit gets it. Sometimes it could take years. But the chronological order is always there. The spirit always gets it first before the soul. We can receive nothing in our intellect, nothing in our mind, unless we get it first in the spirit man. And we need to pray much in tongues. Let go and let God move into the timeless dimension. And remember, in the spirit realm, it's not just a moving. We are so used in this ordered, organized way. We always move 1, 2, 3, 4, step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4, step 5, step 6. And we expect the spirit realm to be that way. It's not that way. You see, the spirit realm is where God sits in the center, the wheel within a wheel. To Him, past, present, future is sama, sama, sama. All is the same. So when you're moving into His realm, sometimes you take a bit of your past, bring it here, take a bit of present, move it here, take a bit of future, move it here, all, and you get a lot of things here and there, here and there, here and there. And some prophecies sometimes are about your 10 years ahead, suddenly you got one prophecy about 5 years ahead, then you have one dream that refers to 1 year ahead, then you have another dream that refers to 3 years behind, and then you have another vision that talks about 20 years ahead, and then you have one vision that talks about something in your present, and then you have another word of prophecy that talks about what's going to happen the next week. And we all got here and we are all days drunk. You don't know how to go by. But remember, the spirit realm has no time. To God, all time is one, past, present, and future. So when we move into that realm, you just have to keep open and let the spirit sort it out. Let the spirit pray it forth. Sometimes he's praying about your past, sometimes praying your future, but sometimes there is a, as you flow, as you desire, you can seek God in tune. Now, our spirit man knows our past, present, and future. He knows your past, he knows your present, he knows your future. That's amazing. He knows your weakest point, he knows your strongest point. He knows where are the flaws they are in your life. And he can cover for you if you let him. Now, if let's say our soul and our spirit function as two areas in our life, let's say, if I am going to travel to a city I've never been before, and there's somebody there who knows every street, every corner, every shop, every person in that city, wouldn't it be foolish if the person is right with me and I try to find out for myself? It would be the most dumb thing you've ever done. There is the expert who knows everything and you choose to rely on yourself, get lost, get mixed up. Take a map, trying to read, and everything is in foreign language. Try that in Korean. Everything is in foreign language. You don't read Korean, you don't know your direction. And some of them who have been to Korea told me when they order food, they have to behave like the food. Can you imagine if you order a chicken? Imagine if you order an egg. What a way. Right. So we, isn't it foolish if there is somebody who knows it? Our spirit man is billions of times smarter than our soul. A very frank that our spirit man could move into past, present, and future, that our soul cannot. All that our soul contains is only the experiences of this life. Do you know this then? Everything right now that is in your mind and subconscious is only what you have you experienced in the past and you're experiencing in the present. So can you imagine if you are trying to use your soul to understand your future, you can only go by analyzing what is past and say this happened, possibly this can happen, these three things that happened here based on this logical turn of events, therefore it's possibly this fourth event will happen. It's all possibility depending on your past. And if there's a misanalysis of the past, there's a missing of the future. But the spirit man is not that way. Your spirit man right now, through the fellowship he has with the Holy Spirit, has information on your future, past and present. Your soul, conscious and subconscious, your mind, conscious and subconscious, only has data that is being input in the past and in the present, right now. There's no comparison. That is why when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we must yield to the Holy Spirit. We must yield our spirit to God. And even if you have a small percentage of that converted and translated into some things that I also understand, it would be powerful enough in your life. And as we move into that, which one day we're going to teach on that, on the subconscious and conscious mind, as in Adam's state, how to move into that, we're going to see how tremendous the spirit man is in touching the realm of the mind and bringing back a restoration that Jesus has intended for us. Tonight we let go, we let the Spirit flow through our lives, and whatever He speaks to you, take note of it. Don't try, just rest. Not trying is resting and letting the Spirit take control. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the grace of yours. And we ask, Father God, that tonight we would learn to yield ourselves to your Spirit. We learn to yield ourselves, Father God, and let your Spirit feel and overflow through our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Let's rise together.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Mama, 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 mama